So, like, you know, the rap, hip-hop game, it's flooded. There's tons of different artists, different, you know, genres, different subdivisions of the music. What makes you different from all of those people?
That's a really good question. You know, you're right. It is definitely, there's a lot of formulas and a lot of certain standard protocols that come with making certain styles of music these days. I think what separates me from everyone else is, you know, I don't mind combining different genres that's already out there and that's already popular and you know, combining them together and forming my own sound and own genre of music. And I think a lot of people, there's some people that really do, there's some artists that really do that, you know, and continue to do that, but a lot of them, you know, don't really find a need to do that necessarily because, you know, for whatever reasons. But myself, you know, growing up in the Bay Area and whatnot and being exposed to so many different styles of music at a young age, obviously my father, you know, being a well-known musician and, you know, surrounding himself with a lot of very talented and multi-versatile artists just like himself, I think that's what kind of drew the inspiration for me to pursue that route. And, you know, I'm just having fun each day learning new ideas, learning new things, and incorporating those ideas into my sound. And I'm just going to continue to do that because, for one, it brings me a lot of joy. Number two, it's a challenge. And number three, people seem to really enjoy it. So I'm just going to keep doing that with all those things said.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a couple of seconds. As far as your childhood goes, what was it like? What music really affected you in the beginning? How was your introduction to, you know, what you're doing now? You know, the hip hop and whatnot.
Certainly. Well, you know, it kind of went like this in a chronological order. I started performing, or I started playing drums. Actually, my father introduced drums to me at around the age of 2 or 3. And, you know, he really wanted me to have a fundamental concept on the idea of rhythm and tempo, how to keep time, before I can dive into the world of, you know, melodies, harmonies, chords, and pitch, tonality, things like that. And so, you know, I really believe that just like he did, that, you know, there's a lot of musicians that don't take the time to do that, and you hear that in their music, you know, and it's really important, you know, because my dad told me at a young age that you have to, you know, you can go to Juilliard and be the most incredible composer and learn all these amazing, you know, gain so much, you know, intelligence and whatnot and information and study your whole life. But at the end of the day, if you're a live musician, you can't make a group of people dance, you know, that's something that needs to be worked on, you know, from the get-go. And so I think that's why he wanted me to learn drums at a young age. And so drums is my first instrument. Then I learned piano. I was introduced to piano around 7. And I really think that helped because I was able to view the piano as a percussive instrument rather mm-hmm. than a very sensitive, you know, play the piano as if it's made of, you know, glass or something. And it's very delicate. And a lot of what instructors in the classical world would try to maybe, you know, get you to understand. And I was taught through playing drums and also introduced the genre of jazz and blues on the piano at a young age that, you know, the piano is a percussive instrument. It wants you to get down on it. You know what I mean? It wants mm-hmm. you to go nuts on it.
Yeah.
Kind of like almost like Jerry Lee Lewis or even a McCoy Tyner or for yeah. me, my inspiration, Herbie Hancock.
Nice.
You know, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really wants you to go to town on it. So so that was also good. And then at some point, I think just growing up in that generation of where hip-hop was predominant and it was still early on in the years and it was still organic and it was still kind of – it was just kind of catching some momentum, if you will. You know, like the Tupacs and the Snoop Dogs and the Biggies and the Notorious B.I.G.s and so on and so forth. You know, and even growing up again in the Bay Area – hip-hop was definitely a big staple and it was coming up. So I definitely drew inspiration from that. And all things said, I when you listen to my music, I think you hear just a little bit of everything because I am truly inspired by the best of the best of all the music that is out there to this day.
So you have in your blood, you know, like one of the greatest guitarists of all time, you never, like, did you ever have, like, this really big urge to play guitar, or is it just something that, you know, you never got into?
You know, definitely. I actually did play a little bit guitar, and actually I still do, you know, when, because I'm a, I don't just perform live, I also take a lot of time to sit and write a lot of music in the studio and do some composition and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there are some times where I'm not able to get all my ideas out on the piano, believe it or not, exactly the way I want it. So I'll pick up a guitar and, you know, just kind of, it's not pretty, but work out some ideas on it. I do have some basic knowledge and truly an appreciation for the instrument. But, you know, I guess I figured, you know, going even further back than my father, you know, both of my grandfathers were musicians as well. I can't prove it, but I'm sure even their relatives were even musicians as well. So it goes on both sides of the family, both mm-hmm. my mother and father's side. So I think it goes deeper than that. And going back to my grandfathers, one of them, Saunders King, my mother's grandfather, he was a guitarist as well. Mm-hmm. And actually a singer, a beautiful, a very handsome man, first of all, singer, band leader and blues and jazz guitar player, and he's just incredible, you know, renowned musician, you know, and truly appreciated and adored by all. And he was also an inspiration for my father. He you know, was into blues before anything else, and so Saunders King was a huge inspiration on my father as a guitarist, believe it or not. And Jose Santana, my dad's dad, my paternal grandfather, was a band leader as well, and an incredible, also very handsome and adored by all, but incredible violinist and band leader. My dad, when he first started out playing music, he actually was in my grandfather's band and was not just playing guitar, but he also played some violin as well early on. So that was actually my dad's first instrument, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Violin, believe it or not, before guitar. So it goes deeper than that. And again, I have a true appreciation for the guitar. However, I think once the piano was introduced to me, I think it just felt right. It just fit like a glove, you know. And I haven't looked back since. I've just been playing it ever since.
I gotcha. I remember a couple of years ago, I did an interview with Colby Calais when she was first coming up, like right after the first album, and. I'm not sure if you know, her dad is Ken Clay, and he was the producer for, like, all of the really good Fleetwood Mac albums. And, like, Rumors and stuff. And he told her, he was like, listen, you're pretty, you've got a good voice and stuff, but you don't know, you know, how to read music, and you've got a lot of work to do before I'm going to, like, help you. Did your father ever tell you, like, this is what you need to do in order to, like, get recognized, and then if you get to this point, then we'll see what we can do? Like, what was your conversation with your family about you doing something musically?
Yeah, you know, from day one, my folks and my family, dear friends that I've kept in touch with throughout the years, everyone has always supported my choices and my path to pursue my dream, which is to just be a musician and kind of a jack of all trades in music, especially nowadays. You can't just kind of, you know, dabble in one thing. You kind of have to have a basic understanding of all these things, including the business side of it as well, let alone the creative sides and the fundamentals of music side. So there wasn't, my dad and my mother and again, even my grandfathers, everybody in my family took the time to give me a lot of really great advice over the years, but overall, everyone just kind of let me, you know, as they say, kind of figure it out for myself. And you know, it's been a very fun and interesting, but also a very amazing journey throughout my entire life. But especially the last 8 to 9 years, you know, since I finished school and was really pursuing this, you know. Not just as a passion of mine, but as a way of life, you know, to make a living. And again, so there's so much great advice that was passed along to me. You know, one thing that actually really inspired me at an early age was it was funny enough. You know, I can't remember exactly who presented this to me, but it was a mm-hmm. quote by Eleanor Roosevelt when I was first starting out. I remember I can't remember who it was, but I remember hearing this, and I never forgot it. I might paraphrase the quote, though, but it goes something like this. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. I think that's how it goes. And it's an Eleanor Roosevelt quote. And that always stuck with me because, you know, what I gained from it was basically as long as you believe in yourself and you never give up, you know, you can accomplish anything that you want. And there's nobody that can tell you what you can and can't do. Only you can tell yourself what you can and can't do. And, you know, that always resonated with me. That's always stuck with me. I never forgot that. And that was one of the best pieces of advice I could ever receive from whoever it was. I guess let's just say it was Eleanor. She told us that. And, you know, it really helped me along the way because there were times where I felt like, you know, maybe I should do something else. This is getting kind of tough, you know. And, you know, again, it's just me pressuring myself like anybody else, you know, just they're the ones that have to get out of their own way. I'm the one that has to get out of my own way in order to really be successful and in order to really enjoy what I'm doing. So I've just been trying to practice that ever since and enjoying the ride all at the same time.
Do you feel that it's more difficult to make it in music because of where you come from?
Well, I think there's advantages and disadvantages in anything. You know, I feel like in a way I would be just as challenged to try and do something else rather than to stay in the world of music and in art. You know, I feel like no matter what, people will find the time to, you know, let's just use the words criticize for right now. People will take the time to, you know, criticize anybody for anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So just for example, people could be like, oh, you know, your dad's a famous guitarist, you know, you should play guitar or whatnot. And, okay, fair enough. So then I do play guitar, and people are like, oh, you know, your dad's famous guitarist. Why are you playing guitar? You should try.
Yeah. I got you.
Dang. At a certain point, you just have to tell yourself, not only is it an unwinnable battle, but you can't argue or debate or, you know, try to win someone over that's already made up their mind for whatever reason. So that, with all that said, motivates me even more to want to just go ahead and just do my thing, what I'm destined to do, what I'm passionate about, and what makes me happy. Therefore, what I think can make other people happy, watching me in on stage in my element, just having fun on stage, wanting the whole crowd to interact and have a good time and celebrate, and let's distract ourselves for a second with some positivity. And there's already some crazy stuff going out in the world, and everyone, you know, has some crazy stuff going on in their individual lives. So let's take a second to celebrate and focus on, you know, this moment right here and celebrate, you know, having fun, listening to this music. So, you know, that motivates me even more to want to just step out and try to do my thing. And again, just join it and hope that everyone that takes the time to come out and see the shows or, you know, takes the time to listen to my music, I just hope that they enjoy it just as much as I've had fun creating it.
Speaking of doing your thing, you said earlier in the interview that your thing is, you know, mixing and melding styles. The EP's title track, Rise Up, just has tons of, like, you know, some soul in it, some R&B. It's got all these different elements to it. It's just a really cool and groovy track. Can you take us through how it was written and what inspired it?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's interesting. I don't normally write music in this way, but usually the music for me comes first, and then the lyrics kind of happen magically at a certain point. But in this case, the inspiration for the lyrical concept kind of came first. It was inspired when I went to South Africa a few years back with my family, and we had the opportunity to not only meet Archbishop Desmond Tutu and hang out with him for a little bit, but we also had the opportunity to meet and hang out with Mr. Nelson Mandela, and that was just, you know, definitely a top 10, maybe even top 5 moment in my life, you know, not even just my musical career, just in life. And, you know, I was just so inspired by that moment of meeting him with my family. I decided to shortly after go back and come back to the States and do some research. And I read a bunch of quotes that he had, you know, said or had written over the years. And one that stuck out for me was a quote that he had said where it was I'm not going to paraphrase this one. I have this one for sure. It's greatest glory as not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. And, you know, that quote for me, I was just like, as soon as I read that, I said, oh man, that's a song right there. I need to, you know, I need to get my hook and reel. I need to fish some lyrics out of this, because there's a song in there somewhere, and I need to go for it. And so, I started, you know, over the years, I started just writing some different ideas and talking about, you know, perseverance and, you know, getting through the adversity and just never giving up, you know, all those types of things. And when you hear the record, you hear Alex Nestor, who's featured on it. She's my female lead vocalist and keyboardist as well. She helps delegate, so I don't have to stick around my keyboards all the time on stage. Right before or just after she comes in, you hear that piano part that's kind of accompanying her to the hook in the song. That's actually the first piece of music that I started writing, and the song just kind of formed. I was in the studio with Klaus D, a producer out here in Los Angeles, and I was just messing around with the piano in the studio. We were trying to figure something out, and I was telling him the concept and everything, and he's like, "Ooh, what are you playing?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm just messing around." He's like, no, that's really good. Let's record that. And exactly what you hear in the beginning of the record, musically, on the piano specifically, that's basically how the song formed, was exactly that. And the rest kind of just took shape from there. So it was a really organic process, and had so much fun creating it. And I just hope everyone that takes the time to listen to it becomes inspired and enjoys it just as much, again, as I had fun making it.
How do you ultimately want this EP to be remembered? A couple of years from now, you're going to have, you know, another EP out, another CD out, tons of stuff. How do you want people to look back on this one? What do you want them to remember the most?
That's a really good question. You know, again, all those things said, I just want people to, you know, it's a gentle reminder of no matter how tough it gets, you know, not speaking from experience, because I know that there's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now in this world, but I just hope that whoever takes the time to listen to it becomes inspired or re-inspired, and it's a gentle reminder and validation to know that, you know, we all go through different types of adversity and tough challenges in our lives, and it's up to all of us to, you know, make it through together, you know, trying to, you know, what do they say? Rome wasn't built in a day, and everything by yourself in one day. You know, sometimes we need some help, and there are people, there are others out there to help, you know. So, and for me, I just also want people to when they do take a listen to it, they can say, oh, okay, I see where Salvador was at this period in time in his career, or at this moment in time. Now I can see how he went from here and how he went to here, how it all connects. You know, a good example is, I don't know if they still do this, but the Roots, the hip hop band, the Roots, you know, definitely fans of.
Absolutely.
When they first started out, when they were coming out with their records, if their first record, you know, tracks 1 to 15 or however long it was, and then the next record they come out was 1 to 14 or whatever it was, they would continue it. So it would be from 1 to 15, and then the next record it was 16 to 30, and then the following record would be 31 to 46 or whatever. Well, that's kind of what I want to do with my record. Not exactly like that in terms of just track listings or track numbers, but do it so people can say, oh, it's a continuation, you know, of what his body of work, it all connects. It's not just like, okay, he did Keyboard City and it sounded like this. Okay, he did Rise Up, that EP, and it sounded like this. It's like, no, it all intertwines. It all is a journey musically, and it all connects. And that's kind of my goal as an artist, to try and keep it all flowing. You know, I just want it to be fluent. And I think so far it is. And the messages are, they all intertwine, and they all connect to each other. And again, I just hope that everyone that does take the time to listen to it enjoys it, and it can positively distract them from, you know, the crazy stuff that's going on in their world. Or if not, if they're having a great time, I hope it makes them feel that much better.